We're doing the Doshot Aran. We're up to page Samach Dalid in the Machon Shalem edition and page Kufayin Hey in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. Now that we've been discussing the attributes of the prophet, so he says with this we can understand something else. Meaning the point that we will now clarify is how come Moshe, who is the master of all prophets, how come he had a speech impediment? To the point where his brother Aaron had to be his interpreter. He's going to be the master of all prophets, yet he has a speech impediment. No, you can't tell me that was Moshe's nature, that was how Moshe was born, so Hashem didn't want to change his nature for him. Because we know that everything about Moshe was planned. It wasn't left to the course of nature. Because if you're left to the laws of nature, then a human being cannot ascend to the spiritual heights that Moshe Rabbeinu attained. The Torah concludes and says, there's never been a prophet like Moshe. Here the Torah let us know that Moshe's prophecy was beyond what a person can naturally attain. It was something unnatural. God allowed him to be so whole, it was miraculous that God allowed him to attain such levels. It is beyond human capacity in the natural sense. Because the verse says, there will be no prophet like Moshe. Well, why wouldn't Hashem let anyone attain that level? If you can attain it on your own, then how could the pasuk testify there are none like Moshe? If it's something that's within reach of humanity, so then how could the Torah testify there are no prophets like Moshe? Maybe I'll become as great as Moshe. If it's within human reach, so then how could the Torah testify there's no one else like him? Maybe someone else will attain that level. So the pasuk's telling us that in the conclusion of the Torah, you should realize that Moshe, the Moshe you've just read about, well, that's one of the miracles of the world. It's beyond nature. Moshe is beyond the natural course of things. Because on the one hand, the concept of a prophetic vision is something that is within nature. A person can naturally attain that level and attain prophecy. But when a person gets that prophetic vision, so then his physical forces, they become dull. He reaches a point where he cannot act physically, and his whole mind is connected to the spiritual vision. But to have a situation where a human being gets prophetic vision and he's awake, standing on his feet, in full capacity to use his strengths, it's almost like he's talking to his friend. What do you mean he's talking to his friend? His neshama is attaining extraordinary spiritual heights, but he's standing here, standing firm. That is something that goes in contradiction with the laws of nature. Because it's contradictory. It's almost self-defeating. It's a human being attaining a level where on the one hand he's a human being, and on the other hand he's a spiritual concept at the same time. The spiritual things, well, our body has a spirit in it, and when the spirit has to elevate itself to connect the spiritual concepts of prophecy, well then ordinarily the physical body is put on hold. A prophet, when he sees a prophetic vision, does not have control of his physical faculties. But Moshe Rabbeinu did. So that, says the Ran, is unnatural. That's miraculous. So if Hashem does this unusual thing, changes the laws of nature for Moshe to be able to succeed.
יותר.
היה יותר קל לסומות סך הדיבור. So then it would seem that part of what would seem natural within the laws of nature would be that if you're going to make this fantastic prophet who's better than any prophet that ever lived, well then give him the capacity to speak clearly, no? Wouldn't logic dictate that if God's going to make this prophet who's completely beyond the laws of nature, he's prophesizing with such clarity, with such strength, then let him talk clearly, no?
וראינו עוד שמשה רבינו עליו השלום נפלא מזה. איך היה שאחרי שנבחר לנביא לא עושה כובד לשונו?
We see Moshe himself couldn't understand this. When God chooses him to be the prophet, and yet he still has a speech impediment. That's what Moshe says when God wants to send him. He says, לא איש דברים אנוכי, גם מתמול, גם משישום, גם אז דבר חלב דרך. He says, you know, God, I'm not a man of words. I'm not so good at talking. And that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it's been even ever since you started talking to me.
ואין ספק כי אומרו גם מאז דברך על עבדך הוא כמתמע על זה.
And undoubtedly when Moshe says, even since you started talking to me, I still have a speech impediment, Moshe was really questioning. He was saying, God, you're talking to me now. You want me to say your words, and you're leaving me with this speech impediment?
איך הוא שאחרי דברך על עבדך לא עושה כובד לשוני?
Moshe himself couldn't understand. How come even though you're talking to me, you're not removing my speech impediment?
ולא שיבוא השם יתברך, and God doesn't answer him.
רק what Hashem tells him is, מי שם פה לאדם? God says, who has control over people's speech? Who gives you the capacity to speak? I do.
ולפי הנראה אין התשובה לעניין התאים הכלל.
And the way it seems, says the Ran, God didn't answer him. Moshe says, how come I still have a speech impediment? God says, who controls speech? I control the capacity for speech.
וראינו עוד רבותינו זאת שהם מרחיקים עוד שיהיה למשה מום גופני כלל.
We see that our sages were careful to stress that Moshe did not have any physical blemish.
אמרו בפרק המקנה ועניינר בוכה ותחמול עליו ותום ומיידי העברים זה, קר לילד וקר לנער, הוא ילד וקולו כנער.
The Talmud tells us in Sota, in the first chapter, it says, when Batya, Pharaoh's daughter, took out the baby, it says, she saw him and behold, there was a lad crying. She had compassion over him, and she said, this is a Hebrew child. So the Talmud questions. It says, in the beginning, she saw him, she saw a lad. Then it says, he's a child. Which one was he? He was a baby. Why are you calling him a lad? So the Talmud says, yeah, he was a baby. But the way he cried was like a young man. His cry was that of a mature young adult.
אמר לי, רבי נחמיה, אם כן עשיתם למשה רבינו, עליו שלום בעל מום. רבי נחמיה says, how could you do that?
You're making Moshe Rabbeinu into someone who has a handicap, a baby that has a voice of a 12-year-old. Well, then there's something wrong with him. You can't say that Moshe Rabbeinu had blemishes.
What is a handicap?
To have an abnormal voice is a blemish. We won't say handicap. We'll say it's a blemish.
ואחרי אשר תמו על זה, איך לא תמו על המבואר בכתוב, ויותו כבד פה וכבד לשון.
So the Ran says, if the Talmud says, how could you say Moshe has a blemish? So then why isn't the Talmud bothered that the verse says he had a blemish? That he had a speech impediment. That didn't seem to bother the Talmud.
והתשובה על זה, so the answer says the Ran, כי מיות התורה וקיבולה הדבר היותר גדול שאפשר שיהיה במין האנושי.
Being that the Torah and the receiving of the Torah is the greatest thing that can happen to humanity,
ראוי לעם שקיבלה שינתנו לו הוראות חזקות שהתורה היא אמיתית.
So then one of the fundamentals that have to be met is that the nation that's going to receive the Torah is going to have the greatest proofs that the Torah is true.
ושיוסר כל ספק מאותן ההוראות ומעניין ההוא בכללו שאינו בא כי אם בכוח אלוקי.
And there be a complete removal of doubt that a person should not be able to say that maybe this came from another source. Maybe this did not come from God. So if God's giving a Torah, then it's pretty fundamental that God ensures that it's abundantly clear that it is given by God. And that's really the great concept of the Exodus from Egypt, to show us that God is setting the stage. Because Hashem wanted the miracles in that redemption, which is the beginning of the process of the receiving of the Torah, so that the people of Israel realize that things that defy nature, things that contradict nature, are not contradictory to God. God can go against nature. Because this is one of the tenets, this is one of the fundamentals of the faith. And whoever denies that is really denying all of Judaism. And if you say that God is bound by nature, so then you're not only denying God, you're also denying God's capacity to punish and reward, and you're denying basic concepts. And being that this is like the axis that the Torah revolves around, Asher alav tisov, Ratzah Hashem Yitbarach sheitpasem zeh hadat be'eretz Mitzrayim. So Hashem wanted that this fundamental concept be publicized in Egypt. Because Egypt is a land of sorcerers and magicians. Uma sheibachen sham shu davar nimna b'chok ha-teva, v'chilo tasbik b'chokhmat ha-kishup asher yisif misifei ha-chokhma ha-tivit. God said, why do I need Moshe to appear in Egypt? Well, the Egyptians are the greatest tricksters. They're the greatest sorcerers. They're the greatest magicians. So if in Egypt you have a situation where the Egyptians, who know every trick in the book, they say, this is God. There's no way you could do this without God. So that's the greatest validation that it really is God. Hashem purposely wanted Moshe to contend with the Egyptians so that the Egyptians, the greatest empire of the time, the wisest empire of the time, the empire that knew every form of trickery and sorcery, and the Ran over here mentions something which is an interesting point. He says you should know that sorcery and witchcraft are all parts of the wisdom and understanding of nature. They're forces within nature. So they knew how to tap into all these forces. And they said, this is God acting. So then you realize that if the smartest men of the time all said this is God, so yeah, okay, they know. And things that are impossible within nature are not impossible when God's in the picture. If all of these miracles would have happened in a land where people were dumb, then you'd have to tell yourself, well, maybe they were tricked. You know, go to a country that's completely uncultured, turn on a flashlight, and you're God, right? You go down to Africa, you turn on a flashlight, that's it. You bring in a big cigarette lighter, and then you're a God, okay? You can just, with the flick of your hand, you turn on fire, okay? So if you want to prove that something's godly, you have to go to the most civilized place on the planet, go to Japan probably, right, today. Japan is ahead in technology, or Japan, the U.S., Russia, I don't know. I know people think the U.S., I'm not so convinced anymore. So you go to the top place of technology in the world, and there you start showing them things that are way beyond anything they could fathom. Because if they're not masters of every wisdom in the book, so then they're going to think maybe you were able to outsmart them and do things that are really naturally possible. So the Ran is beginning to develop a thought. And the Ran says we have to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment. Moshe himself was wondering. And obviously this was part of the plan. And the Ran says the idea is that the Torah, when it was given, had to be given in a way that there was no room for doubt that the Torah was from God. So step one was to do it in a land, to do the miracles of the Exodus in the land where they were the masters of every types of trick and sorcery in the book. And step two, we'll get to, the Ran is going to develop, is that the man who is the messenger has to be a man that no one wants to listen to. The direction the Ran is developing is that God purposely left Moshe, had Moshe, with a speech impediment, so that Moshe would be the most annoying person in the world to listen to. Because if someone starts talking to you and the way he talks is something like this, he says, you understand, you don't want to listen to him.
But I thought when he prophesied, he didn't stutter.
I don't know about that. I'm unaware of that. So the Ran is going to develop this thought, that in order to ensure that no one would say that Moshe was a smooth talker, so Hashem purposely left him with a speech impediment. That's the direction we're headed. And that way, no one could say, Moshe was able to smooth talk people. Quite the contrary. It was a pain in the neck to listen to Moshe. And nonetheless, Moshe was able to show the people that what he was saying was the truth, and the facts had to speak for themselves. But this is all going to be developed in the upcoming weeks as we continue in the run.